message today. You may find this hard to believe, but Ms. Giles and I did not compare notes on what she said when she got up here. But it fits perfectly with our message for today. If you were here last week, we talked about Samuel. We talked about the call of Samuel, who was the first one to fill the office of prophet in the Old Testament and to lead Israel in that capacity. Well, we also talked about how God calls and speaks to us. And we've talked about that. I've mentioned that. We've talked about the Holy Spirit and the fact it moves and is real in our lives. And today, I want us to talk about that from what I would call a very practical perspective. And I'd like for you to look at, and if you want to, you can turn your Bibles, it's also written in your bulletin, to Mark chapter 1, verse 15. That verse says, the time has come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. God, as we come and we look into your word, Lord, I'm excited. I have a sense through the song selection we've had and the way that we've sung, the hearing the voices behind me, the words that came for Ms. Giles this morning, who's been here and a part of this congregation for 94 years, the message that you have laid on my heart, Lord, it's just exciting to me to see how all of that fits together. But God, I recognize it's not just about a coming together of things so we have a good production on a Sunday morning, but God, what's excited about this is that this is just the tip of the iceberg of what you will do with our lives if we simply pay attention to it. So Lord, it's with that type of passion that I give myself to you to share your message today. But I pray that we will all, myself included, have ears to hear such that we will be moved by your Spirit in whatever way you see fit. But Lord, we come to you worshiping, recognizing that we can do nothing of meaning without you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Mark chapter 1, verse 15. I want us to talk about our lives. And what I'm going to talk about here is something, and I'm using a visual because it really helped me. I was introduced to this visual about 8 years ago. It originated with a guy named Mike Breen, and some of us have talked about this. Some of you have never heard of it, but that's okay. But I think this scripture, and it's about the scripture, but this visual, I think, helped us understand a little bit more of what the scripture says. But as we look at that verse, I want us to go back because as I talk to people about the verse and really try to bring clarity to it, it's sometimes confusing. It says, the time has come and the kingdom of God has come near. So what do we mean? What does the scripture mean when it says the kingdom of God has come near? One of the first things that people will often say is, well, it's not going to be long before the second coming. The kingdom of God is near, thinking that it's the second coming. Well, that's true, and the second coming will happen, but this scripture was written a long time ago. So it's true, the second coming is going to happen, but there's something more here, and as you study the scripture and pay attention to it, you recognize that what it's saying is that the kingdom of God is not somewhere off that's coming. The kingdom of God is here now. And it's here now through us because of who God is through us, because of who God is in this world. And then it continues to say, repent and believe the good news. So I want to go back. If we consider that all of us are born, there's going to come a time all of us are going to die unless the second coming happens before that takes place. This would be an illustration of how we live our lives. This would be a depiction of time, and one word for that would be chronos. Chronos is a description of time, of linear time, that has a beginning and an end and goes in a line. Well, there's a different type of time that relates more to the kingdom of God and who God is and how the Holy Spirit works with us, how we get on the Holy Spirit's wave beam, and that's called Kairos. Now, I want to take you to Walmart. Anybody ever been to Walmart and went over a speed bump? Good. Glad somebody's listening. He went over a speed bump. What happens when you get to the speed bump? What's supposed to happen when you get to the speed bump? You slow down. You're supposed to slow down. How many of you have gone over a speed bump without slowing down? More people than that are supposed to raise their hand. So I want us to consider this, that throughout our lives, there are speed bumps. Now, speed bumps, as I want to describe them, can be lots of different things. Speed bumps can be a positive thing, and speed bumps can be a negative thing. A speed bump can be getting a speeding ticket. That happened to me one time, and I had to think about what was the meaning behind all of that and how I need to deal with it. There's also a speed bump can be getting married, having children, graduating. A speed bump can be sickness. A speed bump can be getting a pay raise you didn't expect. But it's things in your life that are just put there. And if we pay attention to them, more times than not, God desires to speak to us through our events in our lives. Now, when we think about the Holy Spirit, all too often, we think that when we're listening to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's going to speak to us, that it's going to happen by some miraculous thing of shooting down from the sky, and that's God's going to tell us, and we're going to know what our plan is for our lives, and God can do that. But that's not the way that God most often speaks to us. And I believe God speaks to each one of us every single day if we listen. And more times than not, it's through these speed bumps. So I want you to realize today what we're going to talk about is the fact that we live our lives sometimes going through this linear time, just getting through life, and we get here and wonder what life was all about anyway. God doesn't intend us to live life like that. Our life should have more meaning, and it does have more meaning if we slow down at the things that happen throughout our day and listen to see if God has something to tell us. And sometimes there's a big revelation. Sometimes it's just God wants to know we're paying attention. So I'm not going to say that there's going to be some huge revelation, major revelation several times a day, every day. But God does desire us to pay more attention than we often do. Now, the scripture also talked about the fact we are to repent and believe. Let's talk about repent for a moment. Repent in the scriptures often is discussed as repent. You're repenting from sin. You're repenting from wrongdoing. And you're asking for forgiveness and wanting to do better. That is accurate. But that's a limited view of repent. If you really do a word study of repent, what repent really means is to change. And so sometimes you can be called to change direction. It doesn't necessarily mean you've been going in the wrong direction. It doesn't even necessarily mean you've been going in a direction different than what God wanted you to. It simply means you've reached a time in your life right now that God has a different plan for you, and God wants to communicate that. So we begin by hearing that we're to repent and believe the good news. Well, I want us to think about how we do that. So we get to something in life that gives us reason to think. And the first thing we do is observe. Simply pay attention to what it is that's happening in our lives. Instead of jumping over the speed bump and keep going, slow down enough to pay attention to what's happening in our lives. And then we reflect. We reflect by spending time with God and with God, saying, okay, God, this is something that's happening in my life. I don't know that I understand all of what's going on right now. I don't know that I understand all of what you want me to be doing in this situation right now, but I want to know. God, what might you be teaching me in this? And so you give that an opportunity to simmer and for God to have opportunity to speak. Instead of that just happening and keep going to whatever's next, allow God the space and time to speak to you. The next thing is discussion. Now, over and over in the Scripture, it talks about us being a part of the body of Christ. We're a part of the body of Christ because we're more together than we are separate. God does speak to us on an individual basis, but when we come together as the body of Christ, we can see and we are part of a bigger picture. So when you've gone through these speed bumps and there's something that's happening in your life, there's something that you may be struggling with or wondering about, it's very appropriate for you to enter into discussion with other trusted believers, mentors, people that are part of a small group that you may be part of. And so then the door becomes open and God uses the body of Christ to be able to speak to us beyond what we may just have on our own. So this would be the repent process. You kind of see how that works as thing goes through. It's not that you're going about your day and you're constantly looking up saying, God, when are you going to send that letter in the mailbox that says from God? It's probably not going to happen, but God's beating his head saying, I'm sending you a message so many times during the day. If we'll just pay attention, God wants to speak through the simplest things in our lives. So, that's what repent would mean. Not just getting away from sin, but being aware of change in direction God may want you to take in your life. So, you've gotten this far. Well, it said repent and believe the good news. I want to talk about the word believe a little bit now. The word believe in Scripture is used differently than what we use it sometimes in the English language. To believe something in the English language, most often we use it as a passive word. You can sit in the pew and you can believe that God created the world. You can believe God is God of the universe. You can believe God can heal people. But according to Scripture and the way it's interpreted, belief, the word believe carries with it a sense of action. So believe is an action word. And I'm not going to take time to do all the word study of that, but if you choose to and you go into the Scripture, you can see that if you go back to the original language. So if you go through, you've gotten here to this, and you know there are a lot of believers, there are a lot of Christians that'll get this far in this. They don't necessarily follow this model, but they can get there realizing that God's speaking to them and there's some things happening, they're excited to be a part of that, and then they stop. They just stop right there and they say, yep, God's speaking to me and it's been good and I've heard God and my life's going to be good now. But they never get to the action, the believe part. And so what comes next after the discussion, after you've observed and reflected and realized God's doing something in your life and you know there may be a direction you need to go, you need to make a plan to do something. So if we make that plan, and this can be anything. You can take a scripture out of the Bible and read it and say, okay, what is it God saying to me through this scripture? What did I observe in the scriptures? I reflect on the scripture. What is God saying? Then discuss it with some other believers. So it can happen. Scripture can offer you a kairos moment. But I want to take, for example, suppose the kairos moment that somebody's experiencing is it's a parent and they're having issues with their child. It may be a young child, it may be a teenager, but as they get into the discussion and it's not a very good one, it's heated, communication isn't what it should be, and then they realize in the midst of that that their child has a lot going on that they didn't even know about. And so we're just going to assume without going through the process that what they realized they needed through that kairos moment was that they need to spend more time with their child. And then, so if they're going to do that and they realize that, they say they could easily say, okay, well now I know what needs to happen and I'm going to do a better job at that. How many parents do you think have said that only the next week to go back to the exact same place? How many times do you think, whether it's that or some other situation, we have had great and wonderful intentions and felt God talking to us, and then the next week we go back to the exact same place? It happens with me. so we need to make a plan. So what does that plan look like? It's not just making a general commitment you're going to do it, like saying, I'm going to spend more time with my child. If you're really going to stick to it, the plans need to be specific. They need to be spelled out. It needs to be something like, you know, I'm going to commit to spending at least 1 hour a day of uninterrupted time with my child. That may sound like, really, all you're going to spend is an hour? I tell you, we really look at it. Many parents don't have an hour of uninterrupted time with their child today. It's a little sad. There's tons of things bringing interruption. But wherever that may start for you, that could be one example. So you'd say, okay, so I'm going to spend an hour dedicated. Every day I'm going to spend at least an hour. And that way you know you're going to get to know that child. That's a good first step. But then maybe instead of just saying you're going to spend an hour, maybe you need to make that plan even more specific. Think about your next week, what the week's going to be like. Where is that hour going to come from? When am I going to be available and my child going to be available, and it's going to be an appropriate time that both of us are going to be able to spend with each other, because you know it's not just about you, it's about the child too. And so then you've got to get even more specific. So you understand that when you get here to making a plan, it needs to be a specific plan. Then beyond that, there's a word called accountability. Change is difficult. Change is very difficult, even if you want to do it. And a lot of times people don't want change, but even if you want change, it's not an easy thing to do, because you have the default of your life, things that happen that aren't going to go away, and you're going to have to figure out how to adjust to that. So it's difficult to do it by yourself. But if you're serious about this, whatever your plan may be for whatever it is, it's important that you have accountability, that there's someone that has your back. There's someone that's in your corner. There's someone who's not just going to pat you on your back and say it's going to be okay, but say, you know, you made this commitment. If you really want to stick to it, you got to get your act together and not give in again. You've got to have someone who is willing and able to help provide that accountability. And then we get to the act. You do it. Belief means action. So you see how the Holy Spirit speaks? It's a process. And God breaks into our lives every single day and offers us opportunity to discover new things that He intends for our lives and the direction He intends us to go. Do you think when you slow down enough to do this, even if it's just for a minute or two, can you see how you come back out on this end as a different person? Now, you don't have time. I don't have time to sit down throughout the day and draw this little diagram and go find some people to talk to and do all that. But I think there's probably some times throughout your week or throughout your month that we do need to make time to do that. And the more you do that, the more it becomes something that becomes natural throughout your day. And when things happen in the day, you pause because you realize that that's God trying to have communication with us instead of just a random event that's happening in the day. The kingdom of God is near, and we need to pay attention. So, this is about following Jesus, recognizing what the Scripture says, recognizing what it means to be on God's wave beam. So the first thing we need to do is listen for His instructions. And we talked about the verse last week, John chapter 14, verses 15 through 16, was when Jesus, through Scripture, said that He had left us with the Holy Spirit. He had left us with an advocate. He had left us with a helper. And that helper helps us to process the life that we're in. God doesn't expect us to treat life as a puzzle that we have to figure out all on our own. The Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit is real in our lives every day. And if you want to talk to a person that can tell you about it, spend some time with Ms. Giles. She's got almost 94 years of experience. I don't know when she became a Christian. I don't know when the Holy Spirit became that real. But it's been a long time, longer than most of us have been alive. And she's not going to feed you a bunch of bull, but she's not going to pull any punches either. It's real. We need to listen to God and His instruction. But if we look at the rest of the scripture that was read today, we were reading about some fishermen. And Jesus asked these fishermen to leave their nets. They had to leave something. They had to drop something. Do you think this just happened and it was an easy thing and no thought was given to it whatsoever? Now, it's possible that they already had a relationship with Jesus. It's probable they had a relationship with Jesus. So there was a building up to this. It wasn't like this was the first time they had met Jesus, probably. But still, when Jesus called them, they left their livelihood. Not only that, was there a person that they said they left? Their father, Zebedee, was left in the boat. So it caused a change in relationships. I don't know what God's going to call us to leave behind. But if we're going to follow Him, things are going to have to change in our lives. Priorities are going to have to change. Probably the way we spend our time and maybe even who we spend it with may have to change. Let's think a minute about some of the things that might hold us back. Things that might hold us back from following what God leads, of being willing to enter this process of repenting and actively believing and living out what God calls us to. The first one I'm going to suggest would be our past. And every one of us have one. There are things in our past, most every one of us have some things we regret. And if we allow it, Satan will take that and throw it up in our face and say, you know what, you're not worth anything and you can't accomplish anything because you've already done this and it cannot be undone. That is your past, and you have to live with it, and you have to wear it as a chain around your neck for the rest of your life, and that is a lie. It's a lie from Satan. He wants us to be held down by our past. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross so that we might have forgiveness. And it says that He takes our sins and puts them as far as the east is from the west. And by the way, that would be a linear east from west. And guess what? The two never meet. That's what God does. So don't listen to Satan's lies about your past. Another one would be a fear of failure. You feel this nudging. God would lead you to do something. You know that God's working in some way, but you're saying, you know, I just don't know that I can do it. I'm afraid I'm going to mess up. You know, the only people that have ever not messed up in life are the ones that didn't try to do anything. And another thing we need to pay attention to, and if you talk to very successful people, they will talk to you about their failures. And those failures, they don't sit there and wallow in self-pity. They realize that those failures are an opportunity to learn and grow and become someone they weren't. And then beyond that, our past, our fear of failure, we also might consider our limitations. You know, I'm willing to. It's not I'm afraid of failure. I just don't have the ability to do that. Well, there's another quote, and I didn't take time to look at it. I don't know exactly where it came from, but it's very true, and we can find scripture to back it up, is that God doesn't call the equipped. God equips the call. God doesn't call the equipped. God equips the call. And if you want an example, just take the deal with the shepherds in the Christmas story that we just heard a few weeks ago. When God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, God Himself in human form, and had a plan of what was to be done and how that message was to be shared. Who did He use? Who did He introduce the Christ child to and had them share the message of who He was? Now, it would have made sense for it to be the world leaders, so that because they all, everybody already knew them and they had a platform to share, and it would have made sense because the avenues were open. That's what man would have thought we're supposed to do. But you know what Jesus did? What God did in terms of helping know who Jesus was to others? He chose the shepherds. The lowly shepherds. The ones that nobody cared to interact with. He took them. He introduced them to the Christ child. They become overwhelmed by the presence of the Christ child, and then they go and share. Do you think they may have shared about the Christ child a little bit differently than the world rulers would have? I'm not saying that they're not some good world rulers, but the likelihood that those world rulers would have also been thinking about, how does this play into my political future? What does this mean about what people are going to say about me? The shepherds, that didn't matter. They didn't care about the shepherds anyway. So, when God calls people on His behalf, God equips them and wants the glory to be able to focus on God, not on us. And so, as God calls you, He will equip you. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. And as they do, you'll have opportunity to respond. And I invite you to do just that. We're talking about following Jesus. Are you willing to follow? Are you willing to pay attention to what it is God's saying? Because I believe it, and I will talk to you in more detail about it. No matter what your life is like right now, no matter what you're going through, no matter how good or how bad it may be, God is speaking to you. And my guess is for all of us, for some, there may be really big changes God wants us to make. For others, it just may be what seem like small changes, but those small changes will have an impact we can't even imagine yet. But whatever it is, I beg you to listen and to respond. Let's stand together and sing "Just As I Am," hymn number 307.